Be a part of the best pro wrestling podcast today by supporting the Going In Raw Patreon. You can enjoy access to the live taping of the show, exclusive merchandise, and patron-only episodes, and so much more. Support Going In Raw today. Click the link in the description.
This is Charlotte, and you're watching Going In Raw. That sounds terrible.
What's up? This is the most must-see WWE superstar of all time and his lovely, gorgeous wife,
Marie.
And you are Going In Raw.
What's up? It's your girl, Sasha Banks, the legit boss, and you are watching Going In Raw.
Oh, baby, I like it raw. Oh, baby, I like it raw. And you are tuned in to Going In Raw right now. How you doing?
Hey, friend, I'm Steve here.
And Larson.
And welcome to Going In Raw, the only pro wrestling podcast you need to be listening to right here at youtube.com/Steven Larson. And anywhere fine podcasts are available, be sure to hit that subscribe button and that little bell if you're on YouTube for the notifications.
Oh, yeah.
So you know whenever there's new Going In Raw content. We're also available on the Patreon, Larson.
Yeah. Today. The brand new and improved Steven Larson Patreon.
Really? We just added a couple little bells. The $5 best value Going In Raw ring crew, that was like we added, we're doing this live stream right now. We've got 12 people watching because nobody knows this is happening.
You just showed me some little banner images you're going to include.
The artwork.
The artwork for each Patreon tier.
Yes.
For the $5 one, you should include the words best value in the image.
Best value. Okay, I'll do that. So now we've got three at the $5. $5 a month gets you three live streams. It's all our recaps for the weekly shows, Raw, SmackDown, NXT 205 Live.
Yes.
Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. Three opportunities for you to join in the discussion here in the live chat and watch us do this live. We banter a little bit before and after the show. And, of course, you still get the weekly bonus episode. We usually shoot that after the Raw episode.
Yes.
There's all sorts of tiers. Yeah, the $5, you also get early access to our Sunday show.
Mm-hmm.
That goes up on Saturday for $5 patrons. There's all sorts of great reward tiers. It really helps the show out financially and keeps us going, helps us take things to what level, Larson?
The next level. Next level.
One day we'll get to the Neville level.
And then the A double level.
Yeah, well, that's the biggest level. So let's talk about
205 Live.
Oh, we're also on Pro Wrestling Tees.
Oh, yeah, sorry.
/Going In Raw.
There's a shirt like that, but it's, not that
it's
shirt.
It's the red print version of this. It's on black.
One of 10 designs currently up. The 11th is coming.
I don't know if anybody's just really annoyed that I haven't just put this one up. I don't know. I might do just this one as like the alternate version.
Okay.
Or they could consider it the prime version. I don't know.
Maybe put it on a different color shirt.
Again, that's defeating the purpose. Then you're just, I'm still just, you know, teasing people that shirt isn't up.
People could still buy that shirt.
This is at a secret location. They don't know where it is.
But if they could find that location, people have found it.
No, the crappy thing about this, and I don't know why I just didn't do this in the first place, is we get $2 for every shirt that this is sold, and $7 if it's on Pro Wrestling Tees.
Oh, well.
Idiot!
So I think that design would look really good on a red shirt. I would buy that.
Red?
Yeah.
Like dark red?
Sure.
Or like bright, blaring red?
Both.
That's horrible. Red makes me look smaller, but not in a good way. Makes my shoulders look less...
Oh, more narrow?
Shouldery. Yeah.
That's interesting.
I don't like red. It's like the time Triple H wore like white boots.
Mm-hmm.
It just looked weird. Or bicycle shorts. Mm-hmm. Just looked weird on him. Red looks weird to me. I have that great Lex Luger shirt and the great Sasha Banks shirts. And neither of them. I don't like wearing either of them. They look weird. Anyways. Continuing on.
Yes, let's actually talk about some wrestling now.
Yeah. Let's talk about 205. Kind of an underwhelming episode of 205 Live, to be honest with you. I was underwhelmed by this one. Not enough wrestling.
Yeah.
And the Cedric Alexander match was not all that great.
No.
I feel like, number one, the lumbar check kind of bugs me these days because I know that he has a bum knee. That was what he went out for, knee, right?
Yeah. But they wouldn't have cleared him for action unless.
No, I know. It just hurts me now. It hurts watching it. And it's not. I think he does it a different way now. Okay, so it kicked off with a Neville and Aries and Austin Aries package.
Just a recap video package.
You know, I'll say this too. I think one thing that bums me about 205 Live is that I completely, Austin Aries is winning that title at Extreme Rules. He's totally winning that title.
Yep.
And I put it on Neville. Blah.
Anyways, it kicked off with a package, Neville and Austin Aries, sort of recapping what had been going on throughout their rich, storied history.
Yes.
Yeah.
Great feud it's been.
No, it's been fantastic. It's been really, really good. Sad to see it go away. But, yeah, you think about this, man. This has been a long time coming here.
Mm-hmm.
So, be interesting how the submission match plays out at Extreme Rules. Next up, we had a Noam Dar, Alicia Fox promo. What was this? Them like talking to each other. What happened here?
I don't remember.
I think it was him saying something like, no, yeah, they were in the middle of the ring.
Yeah.
And he was saying, you know, he was saying, we're a strong couple, we're madly in love. And then Alicia Fox started talking crap about Sasha Banks. Rich Swann then came down and he did the old NWO.
Yeah.
To Sasha Banks. She came down looking like, oh man, $1 million.
Mm-hmm.
That, what do you call it? Jumpsuit shoes?
Yeah, yeah.
Holy moly. It looked like time itself, dude.
It really did.
It was like a star field on her amazing body. So she looked great. She has that like shock pink hair. She looks like $1 million. Yep. Anyway, she was gracing 205 Live with her presence. Do you think, Larson, next week when we read the Wrestling Observer, are we going to get the word that 205 Live has skyrocketed in the WWE network?
I don't know about skyrocketed, but
you think it'll get him in the top 20 at least?
I would hope to see some improvement.
You would think so, right?
Improvement.
I would think between the Brian Kendrick Akira Tozawa match.
Yeah, that got a lot of buzz.
Neither of those guys were on this. Yeah, neither of those guys.
Yeah, no,
so that got some buzz. And then Sasha showing up. It's this or nothing. Like, they can't do any. What are they going to do? Bring Brock Lesnar over to 205 Live?
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. I mean, that's.
Would Brock Lesnar crack the top 10 for 205 Live?
Yes.
You think he would?
Yeah, I think so.
Top 5?
I don't know.
Tough sell.
It is.
Yeah.
Anyway. It shouldn't be, though, because 205 Live is week in and week out a really good show.
That crowd kills it, dude. And I don't blame
the crowd last night seemed more into it than previous weeks.
Yeah, they did.
It was a decent crowd for the episode this week.
Yeah, with a weaker show. Well, they had an amazing SmackDown.
Yeah.
So they were probably still hyped off that. SmackDown goes by like a breeze, man. It's great.
I know.
That led to a Rich Swann Noam Dar match. Decent enough match. It was a good match.
Yeah.
I feel like I've seen these guys a bit too much, though.
Noam Dar picked up the win.
Mm-hmm.
And Sasha and Alicia Fox fought a little bit outside.
Mm-hmm.
So do you still think Noam Dar and Alicia Fox are going over at Extreme Rules? We both picked
win. For sure.
Yes.
Yeah, absolutely. Wait, who stood tall here? Oh, Dar won.
They
stood tall.
Sasha and Rich Swann stood tall.
Oh, she grabbed the some of the hair. She took some of the hair. I like that Corey Graves was telling Tom Phillips, you're going to learn what a track is, Tom. Because that's all it has to do with hair weaves. I actually knew what tracks were because I've had to do hair weaves for all the girls in my house.
Oh, really?
Lacey's had for a very short, because when she had shorter hair, I had to do some weave stuff, and you know, it's terrible. And then I think Marissa also did some weave stuff, and so I had to do some stuff for them. It's not fun, man. It's not fun. I'd rather be doing cool man stuff, dude, like playing video games. Anyways, or chopping lumber.
I don't think you've ever chopped wood in your life.
Have I? No, it sounds terrifying. No, you know, I've sawed, though. This past weekend,
I've sawed before, too.
Some PVC pipe.
Did you use a handsaw or a power saw?
Handsaw? What am I? Millennial? I'm a man. I use a handsaw.
Okay.
No, you know, it's great, though. My neighbor, he's got it's like a power saw on a pole. Looks like it's something.
Yeah.
And he just comes around. I'm like, hey, my tree's getting a little too much here. And he just comes, like butter.
Yeah.
It's great. I got to get one of those. Terrorize people with it. I'm always afraid I'm going to. This is a great story.
Okay.
I was at Winco.
Yes.
Not too long ago. And I was standing in line, and the lady in front of me seemed kind of like, she was kind of Granite Bay-ish, you know, a little, seemed kind of rich. But she was at Winco. You're bagging your own groceries. Couldn't be that, you know. She seemed cool. Older, like my mom's age. Talking to the cashier. They seemed to know each other.
Okay.
Cashier was probably younger.
Okay.
And she was like, she said something like, she was trying to grab onto something. She was like, oh, damn it. She said, and I looked at her, I sort of looked. And she was like, oh, what happened to your hand? The cashier said this to the lady. And I looked at her fingers, and they looked horrible. They looked monstrous. They looked really weird. And she said, oh, I cut off my fingers last summer and had to have them reattached. So they don't really work all that good anymore.
Oh, my goodness.
She's like, how did that happen? She's like, it was a power saw. Oh, my God. But she seemed to have a good attitude about it. Anyways, Noam Dar won with a kick. Alicia Fox had some hair ripped out. They're totally winning this weekend, though.
Yes.
Cedric Alexander gave an interview with Dasha, the interview bot.
Yes.
And she was talking about Noam Dar and Alicia Fox, and he was like, you know what? I've been rehabbing. I don't want to come back to that kind of crap.
Yep.
They're crazy. I want nothing to do with that. I'm here to make up lost time. He went out to the ring and took on
Corey Hollis.
This was back in we referred to Hollis and Skyler as the Steven Larson of NXT.
Yes.
So Larson of NXT is now migrated over to 205 Live.
Yes.
Good for him. He took on Cedric Alexander. Cedric looks like a million bucks.
Yeah, he does.
I think he's going to be a big star. I kind of feel like he needs a heel turn, and I feel like a lot of his facial actions were heelish.
Yeah.
Like, he looked like he was pissed off at Hollis.
Yeah. I just want them to
do something with him.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, you got to give him time. I think after Extreme Rules, the board's going to be set for, you know, well, Great Balls of Fire, but I think they're going to reshuffle the playing board a
yeah.
little bit.
Yeah, I think
and
so
I think
too.
Cedric Alexander. Who do you speculate? Speculate who's going to be the first thing he gets into. Better not be Noam Dar.
I'd be interested in Cedric versus Akira Tozawa.
I think that'd be interesting.
Could be good, or Cedric and Brian Kendrick.
Yeah, I was going to say Brian Kendrick, but Akira Tozawa would be injured. The problem with him, yeah, I'm not sure. I'm not sure I want a heel Cedric Alexander. Anyways, he took on Corey Hollis. Not a terrific man. I don't know if there's rust on Cedric Alexander's part, or if Corey Hollis just isn't really the right opponent for him.
Well, I mean, they're putting Cedric upon his return into essentially squash matches.
Yeah, he's fine jobbers.
Yeah, but he should be, to really showcase his skills,
mm-hmm.
he should be in good matches.
Yeah, I know.
I mean, because we've seen what he can do against a really quality opponent.
I kind of feel
booked in a competitive match.
I kind of feel like this wasn't the way to bring him back.
No.
I feel like he should have come back in like some sort of like injecting himself into a previously established storyline,
yes.
perhaps. Like, you know, if Brian Kendrick decided to, you know, take out his frustrations about last week on Akira Tozawa, Cedric Alexander come in, maybe make the save.
Yes.
Or maybe pile on to,
yes.
to Akira Tozawa if
yes.
he wants to be a heel.
Yes, agreed.
Because I still think with Cedric Alexander, the crowd is kind of neutral on him. They'll accept him as on a heel turn. Or they'll accept him as a face. But you kind of need to pick
Choose.
One. Pick
yes.
one and go with it.
Yes.
Yeah. And he gave the lumbar check. He's sort of, I think he's doing the lumbar check a little bit different these days.
I haven't really noticed.
Okay.
I think it's all dependent on how the person taking it.
No,
sells
I think
it.
You're right. I think you need to be like, if you're a Noam Dar, you're tiny and you can like jump up high, then you can take it like $1 million. I think Corey Hollis isn't that guy though.
And I think Corey Hollis also landed more towards Cedric's feet.
Mm-hmm.
As opposed
yeah,
to
yeah, yeah, yeah.
land flush across, you know, like his entire shin.
Yeah.
So when he hit, he kind of fell off onto the mat rather than bounced off.
Right. We had Mustafa Ali take on Drew Gulak. I love Drew Gulak. He's great.
Mustafa
and I like
Ali's
this.
Mustafa Ali's great.
Yeah, I like this. I think this was a good little story they told.
I love how the match started where Gulak was coming out.
Oh, my God.
And out of nowhere.
It looked like a glitch.
I know. It looked like Mustafa Ali just like fell right on top of Drew Gulak.
It was like one of those things where like the camera in 2K17 is focusing on one thing, and it's supposed to change angles when something happens.
Yeah,
to like better fit, but it didn't, and so it was just this jarring thing. Like all of a sudden, Mustafa Ali was
just falls from the top of the frame and lands on Drew.
Oh my! It looked horrible.
It was fantastic.
It was great. It was really cool. And then this match was essentially Drew trying to take out Mustafa Ali's knee.
Yeah,
trying to ground him essentially.
Yeah.
Because of his, you know, no fly zone mantra.
Yeah, Gulak eventually won via roll-up.
Uh-huh. Literally the least exciting way to win.
Yeah,
so,
and afterwards he gave an interview, you know, saying, you know, see, I was speaking the truth.
Yeah.
You know, I think, what is his new catchphrase?
No flying, please. I don't know.
No, it was something, but then it related to how he won via ground-based attack.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I don't know.
Anyways, I should have wrote that down.
He's great. I know. Where is it? It's not in your notes here.
I know. Sorry.
But he's great. He's fantastic. I really like the way the direction they're going with him. I think it has a lot of potential.
Yes.
And it's already sort of paying off. Then we had, I don't know, I thought that was kind of weak, to be honest with you.
I thought so too, but the crowd seemed into it.
Well, you know what? With Austin Aries is so good.
Oh, I know. The constant replays of the tap heard around the world, is that what they're calling it?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, I like that. They made that out to be a big thing. Austin Aries gets in the ring. Austin Aries knows how to talk to a crowd.
Yes.
He knows how to get them into it. And yeah, I mean, it's kind of a big deal. You know, the like you said, they call it the tap heard around the world. It was a good, that's a good anchor for the segment. But I don't know. I just didn't feel like it was a good go home. I like more action in the go homes.
Yeah.
So yeah, Neville comes down, crowd really starts heckling him.
Yeah. And then, TJP attacks Aries from behind.
Mm.
Neville comes in, they team up on him.
Yeah.
Beat him up.
Yeah.
Aries puts him in the, sorry, Neville puts him in, puts Aries in the rings of Saturn. Sorry, I can't talk now.
I think my problem with it might've been, it just felt like it went on way too long. And it might have been all the replays, or I don't know what it was. It just felt like it went on too long, and I just felt like it was kind of a weak segment.
Yeah.
It felt like a middle-of-the-feud segment, not a go-home segment.
But based on that segment, Aries win guaranteed?
I'm not going to say it's a lock, but I'll say Aries winning is probably at 70%. Because I think the case to be made for him winning is stronger than the case for him losing.
Yes.
I think... moving, and it's the sad thing is too, I think I just got wrapped up in my own love of Neville, because
yeah, I was wondering about that too.
For weeks I had been saying Austin Aries is gonna win on Extreme Rules.
Yeah,
I said that was gonna happen, but I gotta stick with it. The predictions video is live. I can't go back on it now.
I know, I after kind of reading some stuff about the Fatal Five Way, I kind of wish I'd made a different choice.
Who'd you pick in the Fatal Five Way?
Finn.
Who'd you what? Who do you wish?
Well,
you went
there
with?
Was I've seen some stuff on Bray? Their sheets about how the whoever Brock faces at Great Balls of Fire is just gonna be at that show, and it's not gonna be a prolonged feud. And then at the Staples Center show, late June, there's an advertised match between Brock and Bray, which will probably, from what I read, be the dark match main event.
Yeah.
So maybe that's just a warrant match for their match. They're gonna
that
have
could be
Great
yeah.
Balls of Fire.
That
I don't know.
Could be, man. You know that would be. I could see them doing Bray. Not to get off topic at 205 Live, but I could see them doing Bray simply because he's just coming off of a WWE Championship run that wasn't great. The House of Horrors was kind of panned. Like they have to understand. Hey, we have to do something kind of big with him, and at least having him in the main event against Brock.
That'd just be more of the same for him, where he's pushed to a point, put into a high-profile feud just to lose it.
Yeah, I know, but it's against Brock.
I know.
Look, whoever he's feuding with right now is going to be losing.
I know.
So might as well be Brock. Let's talk about NXT.
Fun episode.
This was a fun episode. Boy, they know how to pack a lot.
Low point.
This is like the same number of notes that I get from SmackDown.
The low point, the new theme.
Okay, let's talk about this for 30 minutes now.
Not a fan.
WTF.
We just had a new theme. I was just starting to get used
to it. I was just starting to get used to it.
And now they have this new theme, and I'm not impressed with it.
You know what's horrible, too, is that during their interstitials, when they're saying, okay, we're coming up next, we got the tag match, they still have... The
old theme.
The old theme.
And they had an ad for the UK tour.
Yeah.
Old theme.
Old theme. And it's... I like it.
Yeah.
I like it. And
I was
then they
just
got
getting
new,
used to it.
At first, I was like, oh, because I was in the kitchen. I was like, okay, I'm ready for the new theme. I turn it on. And then I'm like, what the fuck? What? And when I'll be honest with you. I honestly think in about 2 months, I'll be fine with it.
Oh, yeah.
Because it took about 2 months for us to be okay with the new NXT, with the one they had. And with the one they had, like, minus the thing in the beginning... It's getting very catchy. It was catching on. It had a little beat to it.
Yeah.
I liked it. And there was a little hit where Liv Morgan does her hat thing. I watched it twice.
They didn't re-edit the intro, I didn't feel like. To the new song.
Oh, really? I thought they... No, I think they did.
They did?
I think they did. I mean, I think they used some of the same shots.
Oh, yeah, they did, definitely. But I didn't really notice if they re-edited it to the beat of the song.
I think they did. They also reused a couple. Okay, so they would do the thing like they have like one shot of Asuka where the camera sort of spins around her.
Yeah.
And they use the first half of that towards the beginning and the second half of that. No, don't do that. I've already seen. I know where that shot's going. I want a different shot.
Mm-hmm.
Use all new shots.
Yes.
Don't cut up the same shot. That's lazy. So I don't like that. I swear they took Liv Morgan out of the intro.
Oh, maybe.
I could be wrong about that, but that one thing of her tipping her hat.
Yeah.
I like that. She's a little cutie pie. Anyways, I'm not sure about this new song. I think I'm going to get used to it because when I heard it the second time, I was like, okay, I'm fine with the song, but it's not the song. And that was my exact reaction to the other one.
It was, I know.
I'm fine with the song, but it's not the song.
Yeah.
What do you think about this Thomas O. Ciampa promo? What do you think about his motivation?
The delivery was great.
Yeah, I liked his delivery a lot.
And we have a question in the questions section of the show about whether DIY was going to break up before his entry or not.
Oh, if this thing was a...
If it's kind of like a quickly put together thing, since he's going to have to be on the shelf for a while.
Yeah.
So I'll wait till we answer that question to address that.
Motivation seems thin to me.
Yeah.
I don't really like it. He says. So
he mentions the injury he suffered at
right
the
before
house
takeover.
Show. Yeah.
So we're to believe that this turn percolated like after all he's been through with Gargano, this turn was a result of him being injured and thinking about being replaced with somebody new. I don't like that. That to me doesn't ring true. I mean, he's psycho killer, so you can technically apply any motivation you want because he's psycho killer.
I mean, if we're strictly, I'm hurt, I have to be on the shelf. Now, DIY, reached the apex of the tag division in NXT together. Now that I'm hurt, Johnny is going to go do things himself.
Yeah.
And he could try to explain it, where it's like, I don't want that to happen. We're tied together.
If he says, I don't want to be the Marty Jannetty,
yeah,
and so I made a name for myself before he can make a name without
exactly.
me around,
exactly.
That would totally be cool. I would be cool with that. But he really placed it on the crowd in terms of who's going to replace
treating
me.
Treating him as just like a replaceable part.
Right, exactly. So, yeah, not huge on it, but whatever. It was fine. He's going to be gone for a long time, so this is kind of a footnote. I love Tommaso Ciampa.
Yes.
He's fantastic.
His performance was great.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. His performance, his promo is great. I thought for a second I thought he meant a takeover, which is amazing. But, yeah, his promo is great. And here's the thing. I kind of prefer the guy to be a heel.
Yeah.
Because we're not going to get those kind of him and Gargano, it was kind of their thing. Okay? They're kind of corny.
Yeah.
You know, it was just their thing. And that's fine. They're like friends or whatever. But I like when guys have stank on it and this promo had stank on it.
Yes.
I thought it was cool. I thought it was really good. Some guys,
what you say he'd be the most dangerous, person in wrestling when he comes back.
Yeah. I love that. Cause it's believable.
Yeah.
For him, it's believable. The guy looks like a million freaking bucks, dude.
He has a small touch, but I like that he walked down to the ring on his crutches, got into the ring, put the crutches in the corner and then gave his promo without the crutches. I thought that was a nice touch.
Yeah.
Little detail.
Yeah.
And it's pretty darn impressive that he wrestled the entire takeover match first with one injury.
Oh, my gosh.
Apparently, I think it must have been that fall off the ladder because he was selling something wrong with his knee.
Yeah.
Apparently, he has a torn ACL.
Oh, my gosh.
And so he finished the match with a torn ACL.
It's
pretty crazy.
That's terrible. Yeah. So anyways, looking forward to his return in, six months?
Probably something like that, yeah.
Gee, willikers. What are they got? Survivor Series?
Yeah, hopefully.
Around then? Okay.
Hopefully then or TakeOver around Royal Rumble.
Yeah.
I just wonder if they're going to keep, how long they're going to keep Johnny out of action.
Oh, I can't believe it's going to be.
It's not going to be anywhere close to that.
I'd
be surprised.
They have some tough decisions to make.
I know.
Is Gargano even going to stick around in NXT? You know?
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know, man. I really wish they do so. See, I would be totally fine.
Well, here's the thing, too. It wasn't, I mean, at certain points during Ciampa's promo, he acted like he still had Johnny's back a couple moments.
Mm-hmm.
So I didn't necessarily think from his perspective, he wants to come back and go after Gargano anymore. Mm-hmm. Understandably, Gargano wants some measure of revenge against his former tag team partner.
Yeah.
But it doesn't seem like Ciampa has his sights set on Gargano at all.
Right, 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 right.
You know, he just wants to come back and, as he put it, be the most dangerous man in wrestling.
Yeah.
So it would be interesting to say, you know, maybe at some point Johnny comes back, Regal goes to him and says, you know, hey, we know Gargano's going to come back at some point. We don't want that happening. So we're going to send you up to Raw or SmackDown.
Yeah.
We're going to send Gargano up to Raw or SmackDown mm-hmm. or 205 Live.
Yeah.
So when Ciampa comes back,
yeah,
there's not a danger to anybody.
Yeah.
I don't know if they would do it, but I could see that happening.
Well, I mean, I'd be fine with, you know, I would be fine with that happening, but then when Ciampa comes back, he starts either stalking Gargano or something. Like, there has to be something.
Or I actually think it'd be more interesting if it was the opposite, where Ciampa comes back and does what he says he's going to do and just mm-hmm. start laying everybody out in NXT.
Yeah.
And Gargano, who say he's on SmackDown,
mm-hmm.
shows up at NXT TV one day and beats the hell out of Ciampa.
Yeah.
I think that would be interesting.
Yeah, that'd be cool. There's a lot of different ways they can go with this. I think that they have no idea what they're going to do with it, though.
No. I kind of wonder. We'll address it in the question, but okay, whether this is a quickly put together thing.
Yeah.
Due to injury.
Bobby Roode interview happened. He was in a car?
Yeah. They like these car interviews now in NXT.
They really do. Who's the writer there at NXT who likes the cars? That's what I want to know, who they hire recently.
So he pretty much said that next week, he's going to return to the NXT arena and have a glorious celebration.
All right. Live F show for Bobby Roode in the NXT at the Full Sail. He's going to be full there at the Full Sail. That was terrible.
That was awful.
Like, that was a euphemism for being erect.
I know, but it was not a good one.
No, it wasn't. Anyways, he's going to have sex in the ring next week at NXT. Looking forward to that.
Probably not.
Who's going to be in there with him?
I don't want to speculate. Because I want to talk about
Andrade Cien Almas.
I want to talk about how awesome Pete Dunne is.
Oh, my God. That promo at the end of this match was great. This boy
fantastic.
This child running around with my title. Oh, God. He's a superstar.
He really is. The pop he got when his Titantron started playing.
I know.
Huge.
Pete Dunne is amazing.
Yeah, he is.
Some child running around with my belt. Or boy, or whatever he called him. Tyler Bate. Oh, I love it. I freaking love it.
And the match he and Danny Burch put on was really good.
It was freaking brutal, man. That was a stiff match right there. Danny Burch threw a couple of like legit punches that looked like it just smacked him in the face.
So good.
Burch is great. I love that guy.
Great match. Yeah. Pete Dunne is going to be a huge star. How much longer before he's on the main roster? By the end of the year?
It would have to be, right? Maybe makes his debut with the Rumble. Because he can lose and be okay.
Here's the thing, though, is Tom Phillips last night alluded to the UK show.
Yeah, he did. That's right.
Ooh. So I don't know if they want to use Pete Dunne as kind of the main guy of that show, at least for a short duration.
Yeah.
Before bringing him up, because he is money.
Oh, man, he's so much money.
He is money.
Be a shame if he wasn't on Maine. I mean, that should be. It should be. 205 Live is in a weird spot because it's a very specific, it's a specific weight class that they're dealing with. And I know that there are people on main roster who are under 205. But the NXT, the UK tournament, and I think 205 Live, they should all be springboards to an extent. They should all be springboards. Why not? So, yeah.
I agree.
Let's see here. Yeah, so that promo of his was fantastic. God, man, that dude's great.
He really is. He Pete Dunne picked up the win with a bitter end.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
Good match.
Does he call the X-plex?
Yeah.
Where he just basically does a suplex, but halfway through he decides to throw the guy.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, here, he's up here.
And just throws him.
Yeah. What'd you think about this Velveteen Dream interview? I love Patrick Clark. Because here's the thing.
You mentioned this last week, that he always feels like he's on the verge of love laughing.
Yes! And it was this way again.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. I thought this was hilarious. Here's the thing, though, man. This appeals to me and appeals to you because we really appreciate the silliness in wrestling. We like when guys are on the verge of cracking up.
Yes.
Our favorite thing on SmackDown was when the New Day were literally just cracking up, shooting Kofi's crotch at the Usos. That was hilarious. Velveteen Dream, Patrick Clark, talking about the ambiance. And then he always has to make a kissy face. He goes, and when he does that, he wants to laugh.
I know.
And I get so much joy out of that. But the ceiling is so low on this guy. And not him, on the gimmick in this form. It's so cheesy. I don't know how it's going to translate anywhere. I just don't. But I'm willing to let it ride, man.
It's been interesting and fun thus far.
It's fantastic. He was talking about the ambiance isn't what he wants it to be. He looked at her hair, the interviewer's hair, and was like, "What is this? This is no good." He says, "We can change this all." I mean, this is the dude who came out, was like a year ago. He was doing NXT house shows dressed up in Trump campaign attire.
Oh, yeah. Something like that.
Yeah. He had like a make a mayor, whatever that crap is, that red hat. He was wearing that crap. Oh, my gosh. So this guy likes it. He likes to evoke a reaction. That's his thing.
Yes.
And it's awesome and hilarious. I love Velveteen Dream. This is great. Anyways, next up, what do you think about this? What do you think about Cian Almas losing to Cesar Bononi? Banana.
They're really going forward with this kind of apathetic Almas.
Yeah.
I guess he had the upper hand pretty much the entire match.
Yeah, this was his match to lose, of course.
Bononi won after reversed a suplex and into a roll-up, got the three count. And then after the match, Almas was upset for maybe 30 seconds.
Yeah. He started throwing, he threw like a couple chairs around.
And then he was cool.
And then he was like, whatever, tranquilo.
And then he's going to go to the clubs.
I try to print out that picture of Naito trying to sell his.
Oh, yeah.
Trying to pay for something. He wasn't trying to sell it. He was trying to pay for something with his title. And he's tipping his hat. And he's got the most serious look on his face. Like,
I know.
He's legit trying to do it. I'm trying to print it out. My stupid printer didn't print it out.
Oh, bummer.
I was going to put it right there.
That's perfect.
I need to make that poster size.
Yes.
God, I love that. I don't know. I love Cian Almas. I think here's my thing about it. I'm willing to give them the benefit of the doubt that they have something good involved in terms of how this is going to play out.
I know. That's my hope, is that this isn't just a thing with him. This is part of a larger story.
If it's
part of a larger story, fine. But if that's just his thing,
then
in the end, he really doesn't care what happens, the results of the match. I just want more from it.
Yeah, no, I know. But I'm willing to write it out, man, because I love Cian Almas.
Oh, I love him too.
Fantastic.
He's great.
What do you think about Cesar Bononi? I'm waiting for him to get his real name, because he's still pre-real name, right?
Yeah, like, it kind of feels that way. He's tall.
He looks great.
Ripped.
He looks great. He looks fantastic. But I want him to get whatever. I mean, it's actually a cool name, Cesar Bononi, but I think it's his real name. And they're not going to use that. I think it's his real name.
It may be.
I'm going to check.
Okay.
Cesar.
Yeah, he looks great. He seems, he was selling well in the ring.
Yeah.
He really didn't get much offense off, so I can't really get the full gauge of his wrestling ability.
Yeah. I think that's his real name. Yeah, that's a real name. That ain't gonna last though. They're gonna figure out some gimmick for him, some angle for him, and then what's his background? Is he an MMA guy?
I think that's what they said.
Cage match? What's a singles wrestle development?
They mentioned it. The commentary team mentioned it.
Okay. Let's see here. Sick man. He's 6'6".
Wow,
boy, that's a tall dude. Beginning of in-ring career 2004. He went under the name V8. Like the tomato juice? I don't know. Yeah, anyways. Cool. He looks great though. Good for him. He'll get a new name. Let's see here. Then we had I love this. I love when the iconic duo, when Billy Kay and Peyton Royce do their little iPhone thing.
Yeah.
I love that stuff. So they were like doing a little shoot, and then Ember Moon comes out of like the little medical
Trainer's room.
Yeah, and she looks kind of down, and then they start clowning her, and she's like, Peyton Royce is saying something like, I can't wait till you get cleared, because then I'll be able to take you on and get revenge for using the eclipse on my friend. Is it bend yet? is it beamed?
And then one of the trainers comes out with a clipboard and has Ember Moon sign her. Essentially, she's cleared.
She's cleared to go.
To return to the ring.
So she said, I'll see you soon. And Peyton Royce looked concerned.
Yes.
So she's going to eat an eclipse, which she probably will.
Yes.
So that's cool. Hopefully that's like a shoot. Hopefully she's literally actually cleared for action.
I don't think they would have included that if it weren't true.
Probably not, but I don't think she did she wrestle in any of the... I don't think she wrestled at the tapings yet. Oh, no, I think... Wait. Yeah, no, she did. She did. Yeah, cool. So good for her. And let's see if they can get her back on track. It'd be kind of interesting. Be interesting to see if anybody is able to catch up with her by the time she's back around to taking on Asuka.
They announced on this episode of NXT that in a couple weeks, I think.
2 weeks, I think.
Asuka, Ruby Riott, Nikki Cross in a triple threat elimination match, I believe.
Whoa, rematch from TakeOver, but elimination.
Yes.
So that's cool.
Yeah, it's very cool.
Wonder if Ember Moon's going to do something there.
I don't know.
Put her stamp on it.
I don't know.
Maybe.
After that, we had a segment that I think was on WWE's YouTube channel or WWE.com.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Of Hideo Itami reacting to his loss to Bobby Roode and being very upset about it.
Let me ask something.
What?
Do you think when they were bleeping him out, he was actually cursing?
I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know either. I don't even know if he was... Was he shouting in English? Could you tell?
I don't know.
I didn't really pay attention. I just saw him being really angry and Cassius Ohno trying to, hey, chill out, calm down.
Yes.
But then it showed Cassius Ohno and Hideo Itami shaking hands in the parking lot.
Yeah.
That's going to be a swerve. Hideo Itami's going to heal the crap out of Cassius Ohno. I think that's going to happen. Then we had the main event, which is Cassius Ohno and Roderick Strong. I guarantee they're going to be teaming up in that Duff the Road unless, tag team
unless
classic.
One of them gets brought up to Maine. Yep.
That ain't going to happen. Versus Sanity's Eric Young and Alexander Wolf.
Fun match.
Yeah, it was a fun match. This is good stuff. I like this stuff. The end saw the return of No Way Jose to help out.
Even the odds.
Yeah.
Roderick Strong picked up the win with a backbreaker on was it Eric Young or was it Alexander Wolf?
Probably Alexander Wolf.
Probably.
I don't know. I wasn't really paying attention.
I meant to write it down.
I was paying attention through most of the match. So
it was a good match.
Yeah, no, it was a fun match.
And they're definitely getting Roderick Strong ready to take on Bobby Roode.
Let me ask you something. Oh, yeah, that's going to happen. Cassius Ohno.
Mm-hmm.
They build him at 260.
Mm-hmm.
I swear they build him at 270 before.
Oh.
And he looks like he might be, and I don't think this is like contractually. I think that he came back and said, look, I am who I am.
Yes.
But maybe he's slimming down a bit. I wonder if there's any incentive, if they're saying, hey, look, we know you are who you are. We're cool with that. But we'd love you to be on Maine. It's just maybe slim down a bit.
Could be.
Maybe.
I don't know.
I don't know. Anyways. So, yeah, that was NXT.
Very fun episode.
Very fun episode. It'll be interesting. I don't know how many episodes they do in one taping.
I think four.
Do they do four?
Three or four.
Oh, my gosh. So it'll be interesting a couple weeks from now to see how dead the crowd is.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But I don't know if they shoot the show in order, per se.
Mm.
You know?
Oh, that I don't know.
I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know.
Or whether the first hour they shoot is necessarily the first hour that's going to air. I don't know.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know.
I don't know. I don't know how they do things. Oh, Cesar Bononi signed it. I'm okay, so let's do mail time.
Yeah.
You guys can send the box. Stuff.
I'll do this one.
What's in the box? And then I'll do this one. This one's from Jason Cantos.
This one's from something called CM Warehouse.
CM Warehouse. CM Warehouse. P.O. Box 1814, Orangevale, California. 95662. It's in the description if you want to send us some crap.
Oh, a t-shirt.
There's a letter. Hey, friendo. I've been listening for about a month or so now and just signed up for the Patreon. Thank you,
Thank
Jason.
You very much.
I discovered you guys through the Internet Darlings content through Brian Zane. Been loving your content since it gets me through the long nights at work. Steve, you know, I love that, by the way. That's my favorite thing when y'all are saying, you know what, man? I work an 8-hour shift and you guys, an hour is taken off it just because, listen, you guys, I love that stuff. Steve, the last few shows you were saying how other friendos sending large size shirts to you, so I've included some XL shirts I had that I don't wear. Hopefully you can put them to good use. Two sweet fellas. P.S. The Nakamura shirt inside is a ripoff shirt I got in the mail that I thought you guys could have a good laugh at. This would be good. Really? Is this like a bootleg? Like, I don't know. It looks normal.
Yeah.
Looks like a regular Nakamura shirt. Although, I don't know. I don't know.
The quality of the...
That seems a little...
Silk screening is not very good.
This thing is... I don't think they usually do this, that though.
No, they don't.
That's an old Scratch logo.
Yeah, it is.
Look at this, brother. Hulkamania, brother. And then we got a Dolph Ziggler shirt. I don't know that I'll ever wear this, but we might be able to find something to do with it.
Yeah. Cool.
Thank you, Jason.
Yes, thank you very much.
Nice.
I can't tell who this is from.
May I see? I have better deducting skills than you do.
But it's a copy of WCW Nitro on the PlayStation for our retro gaming endeavors.
Bill to Nah Aaron. N-A Aaron. What is this? Oh, whoa.
It's pretty cool, huh?
Oh, nice. We got to get a OG PlayStation.
No, we don't.
No?
No, that plays on PS2.
Nice.
Backwards compatibility.
Oh, nice. Wait, where'd you see that?
No, it just is.
You just knew that?
Yeah, PS2 plays PS1 games.
Oh, across the board?
Yeah. As far as I know.
You learned some stuff during our old gaming days. Good job, you. Anyways, if this is indeed from Not Aaron, or just Aaron, thank you very much.
Yes, thank you very much.
We're going to definitely use this on our show. Oh, it's a THQ.
Oh, really?
WCW Nitro, yeah. I wonder how close the engine is to...
I don't know.
Interesting. Interesting. Let's answer some questions.
Yes.
One of the things about our Patreon is we do most of our questions through it. So let's take a look.
Yes. Above titles, Alex C. Who has a better standing in the official Going In Raw Wrestler of the Year race, Peyton and Billy or Alexander Wolfe?
Ah, see, Peyton and Billy might be too good for that. I love them. I think they're great.
Every time I see Alexander Wolfe mosh, though.
Oh, it's amazing.
Yeah, he shoots to the top.
It's fantastic.
Of the current official Going In Raw Wrestler of the Year power rankings.
Yeah, no, I agree with that. Second City Champion, Io Worm. So how do you want to see the Johnny and Ciampa feud play out? How long will it last, and what will be the type of match there for the blow-off? So we've kind of talked about... You know, what we might expect, what we'd like to see happen, their blow-off match.
Submission match.
That's good. I like that.
It plays into their story.
I was trying to think of, like, a ladder match of some sort to harken back to when the turn happened.
Yeah.
Also.
I thought that, too.
Yeah.
I don't know what would be at the top of the ladder, though.
Yeah, I don't. That's the only thing, too. The Shit Twins advocate, Alex Corrente. When does Sanity cash in and win some gold? All three champions on NXT are dominant right now, and there seems to be heir apparents in line.
I don't know.
I would think maybe. I'll put it this way. I think the odds of Sanity going to Maine are greater than this happening.
Yes.
I would think that maybe Nikki Cross taking it off of Ember Moon would be a possibility.
Yes, that
for
seems
some
the
gold.
Most likely scenario
I would think
at
that,
this juncture, yes.
Yeah, that happening.
The Ron Adams. I know you guys are high on Leo Rush. He's great. But given his size, he'd most assuredly end up on 205 Live if he came to WWE. How would you book him on that show so he wouldn't end up falling into the black hole that show can sometimes be for other competitors?
Man, you're absolutely right, Ron. That's my only hesitation with Leo Rush coming to WWE is would they let him wrestle his style? Would they let him do his thing? Because he works a very, very fast pace.
Yes.
And they don't usually let wrestlers wrestle
that's
that
true.
Fast.
That's true.
And that's kind of isn't like literally his name, Leo Rush. Like his matches are so fast.
I don't think he would get lost in the shuffle though.
I mean, he'd instantly be one of the top three talent.
Yeah,
guys
yeah,
there.
Yeah. Like, I think they do a pretty good job on 205 Live, with taking their roster, and granted they don't use everybody,
mm-hmm.
but they say okay, for the next 3 months these are the eight guys we're going to focus on.
Mm-hmm.
They do a really good job of working those 8 to 10 competitors,
yeah.
however many, into storylines that at times, you know, weave into each other.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, if he were to come over and be given a prominent spot on the show, I think he would be in a prominent spot in the show. I don't think he would get lost.
I don't think he'd get lost in the shuffle either. He wouldn't get, I mean, dude, even like people like, I'm trying to think like Daivari. He's not exactly lost in the shuffle.
No.
He's not in like a prominent feud, but they do. They find a great way to weave everybody in and out.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But I think Leo Rush would be, I think he'd be a standout. I think he would be, you know, he'd be up there. I think he'd be probably treated in the same breath as like an Akira Tozawa, who I think is treated very well.
Yeah.
And I'd love to see, and it wouldn't surprise me if it existed somewhere, a match between Akira Tozawa and Leo Rush.
Yes. I think there's only three members of the 205 Live roster who aren't on TV. You have Grand Metalik, who's on occasion. Ho Ho Loon, who has been on NXT.
Mm-hmm.
And then Lince Dorado, who's on occasionally. But everybody else of... of 16
mm-hmm.
roster members are on TV very regularly.
Yeah.
So they do a really good job of...
Yeah, no, they do.
Everybody, for the most part, involved.
The only time Akira Tozawa and Leo Rush went one-on-one was in 2K17.
Oh, okay.
According to internet video. I could be wrong about that. If it did exist, if it did happen.
Yeah, read the next question. I'll see if I can find it.
It wasn't on video. Let's see here. The Galactic Empire's Cruiserweight Champion, Darth Cinema. First-time patron here, long-time viewer since 10 for the win. After that amazing street fight between Akira Tozawa and Brian Kendrick, I'm more high on the guy, meaning Akira Tozawa, than ever before, and now I really want to see him with the Cruiserweight belt. Should Akira manage to win the belt in the future, how would you book the first 6 months of his run with the title? You are free to include any NXT call-ups that may end up going to 205 Live as potential feuds. What storyline would you go for? What epic matches would you book? So Akira Tozawa wins the title. How would you book his first 6 months as champion? I would bring in Leo Rush to feud for the title.
Mm-hmm.
That would be the culmination. He would eventually win. I would have Akira Tozawa go heel to do so.
Interesting.
I don't know. Maybe I would.
I don't know. They seem determined to get Tozawa over as a face. They're doing a good job.
Tozawa's doing a good job. He's over as a face, man. Yeah, no, absolutely.
So I don't know if they'd want to, in short order, turn him heel.
But I just love Leo Rush as a face.
He's great.
Yeah, he's great. Wouldn't mind seeing him versus a Deo Itami.
Mm-hmm.
That'd be interesting. Mm-hmm. That'd be cool.
Because
they have sort of a clash of styles there. Who else would you want to see?
Tozawa and Neville would be good.
Yeah, that'd be good. That's how I'd want it to go down, man. I'd want Neville. Neville needs to keep that title against Austin.
Have Tozawa take it off him.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Chalupa Batman has a question. Since the UK title is technically a main roster title, I don't know if I'd call it. It's sort of a weird limbo title.
It really is.
Isn't it weird they haven't brought the guys to UK guys to Raw or SmackDown? Maybe even having them on 205 Live for now might help with the viewership. No, don't put them on 205 Live. Don't do that.
I was really surprised they didn't have a UK title match at WrestleMania. I feel like at WrestleMania, every belt should be defended.
Yeah, I can see that. Yeah, it should
be. I was expecting Tyler Bate to be in the Royal Rumble, too.
Yeah, I know.
That would
be
really
too.
Great exposure.
I know.
Right after the UK tournament, they didn't do it.
I agree totally. No, I think, I mean, look, they mentioned the UK show.
Yeah.
That has to be happening.
On NXT.
That has to be happening soon. Mm-hmm. All right, read question.
Jordan, how you pronounce this last name?
We're Shafiat.
Okay.
Shafiati.
Assuming the DIY breakup, here's a question I was referring to, was going to happen regardless, mm-hmm. what do you think was the explanation prior to Ciampa getting injured? If they had this planned out before the injury, whatever explanation they had for it, they could have still used regardless of the injury.
Yeah.
So I kind of wonder if he got hurt at the house show, they did, you know, the medical test, MRI, whatever, and they're like, you're going to be on the shelf for a couple months. And they just decided, okay, rather than, since, you know, DIY was a hot act, rather than just kind of put the brakes on it for 2 months, have him break up,
mm-hmm.
you know, Ciampa will take his time off, and then Johnny could take some time off to recuperate from the attack,
mm-hmm.
then come back
mm-hmm.
as a singles competitor. That wouldn't surprise me.
Well, I mean, here's the thing. In wrestling, there's nothing you can do that can't be undone by, you know, with a couple televisions.
Yeah.
I think it probably did go down the way you're talking about it. You're injured, so you know, do this. You're right, they are such a hot act. It would be surprising to me if they didn't have plans for them to continue on as a tag team on main roster.
I know.
But at maybe
the plan was for them to go to Raw.
Mm-hmm.
But with the Hardys coming.
Yeah.
And they're firmly established for the foreseeable future as top face team on Raw.
Yeah.
Maybe they just thought, okay, well, that there's no spot for them now on Raw. We just brought...
there's no real spot for them on SmackDown either.
Exactly.
Yeah.
We just brought, you know, the New Day over to SmackDown. Fashion Police are up there as far as,
mm-hmm.
you know, quality face tag team. There's just not really a spot.
And, I mean, you can go back to when they announced 205 Live, the roster. These two guys were on it.
Yeah.
So... It's one of those things where maybe, you know, the WWE can be pretty stubborn.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe they just felt, hey, you know what? A really hot breakup right now. Well, I don't know.
It all really depends on what their thoughts are in terms of Gargano and Ciampa as singles competitors on the main roster, Raw or SmackDown versus 205 Live. If they want to use their star power to help 205 Live,
mm-hmm.
or if they think they'd be more valuable on Raw or SmackDown.
Let me ask you something. You know the conference calls that they hold every once in a while with Triple H, and we've been privy to a couple of those. Is that a question you think he would answer? Say, hey, you know, what was the original plan for?
No,
for these, you don't think so?
No.
Oh,
I mean, I wonder if we could ask, you know, hey, where do you see Ciampa and Gargano
mm-hmm.
going?
Yeah,
he might answer that.
Yeah,
but I don't know if he would, you know, answer booking questions.
You never know, man.
I was watching Table for Three last night, the one with Cornette and Bischoff, and they were
full on.
Yeah,
yeah.
No worries about kayfabe whatsoever.
Gotta watch that. And I think Triple H is one of the like leaders of that sort of movement.
Yeah, I think so too.
You know. I mean, if you ask it in sort of a business like press type question, not like a fanboy question,
yeah.
You know, was that a move that was pre-planned, or is that something that was hastened because of the injury?
See, I think that
something like that. Not like, that hey, way, what were you gonna do?
Yeah,
you
know? I think if you approach it that way, he might be more willing to answer. But who knows?
Yeah, who knows?
That's all speculation.
Yes, it is.
CM Punk finds it insulting. If he had to predict a current NXT or 205 Live wrestler...
I find it insulting. He said that, didn't he?
Yeah. That no one expects to become a main eventer to ascend into the world title main event scene by gaining a massive amount of fan support similar to Daniel Bryan. Who would you choose and why? He says Johnny Gargano.
No one expects to become a main eventer. My bad. We keep on talking about him. I could... maybe not.
Hmm.
Well, the world title scene is the world title scene. It's a big scene to go to.
Yes.
That's like a tough nut to crack.
Who are you going
to
say?
Similar to Daniel Bryan. If Akira Tozawa kept on putting on those kind of matches, they were must-see matches. Sometimes it just takes a dude who the people will always just want to see him wrestle.
Yeah.
You know, Daniel Bryan, you always got an exciting, dramatic match out of him.
Yes.
CM Punk was the same way. He always, that's, I mean, honestly, that's why That's why he burned out, because he gave everything he had in the ring.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I don't know. I mean, it's a tough nut to crack. Like, who's number one? You have to ask, who's somebody that no one expects to be a main eventer? The Velveteen Dream. He ain't going to become a main eventer. I mean, I think they have high hopes for Hideo Itami.
Yeah.
So I think that's something that, like, you can't really say nobody expects that guy to be a main eventer.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, you're looking at guys like Noé José. Nobody expects him to be a main eventer.
Yeah.
And I don't think he's going to be. And then over on 205 Live.
How about this? Cassius Ohno.
Yeah, I had thought about him too. Again, he can be plugged in anywhere.
Yeah.
And I honestly think that if he hoss down a bit, like, I kind of think he might be. Like,
if he got down to like 240?
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. If he got down like 240, oh my God, this guy's probably the limit. Whether or not he gives a damn, you know, whether or not that's worth.
Or that's what he came to WWE for.
Yeah. I mean, I always felt that Samoa Joe was a short-term pickup just to bolster NXT. He'd have his time there, teach the new kids something, and then move along. But he moved up and on.
For more than a year.
And then he moved up and into the main event, into, you know,
the upper mid-card, yeah.
The upper mid-card. So, I don't know. Let's see here. More questions. Ted C. Williams. He says, will the WWE now promoting the fact that Asuka has surpassed Goldberg's undefeated streak? What are the odds that she remains undefeated prior to being called up to the main roster? Also, if she remains undefeated after the call-up, how long will she remain undefeated once there?
Well, generally speaking, NXT, before you get called up, you have to drop your belt. You lose twice.
If there is ever, an exception, ever an exception, be her.
Oh, I know.
So I don't know that that's going to be the case with her. If she remains undefeated through her call-up, it's going to be a while. I think that will remain undefeated.
Regardless, I think if she loses in NXT or not, she's going to go probably at least a year on main without losing.
I think you're right about that.
They're really going to establish
her. It's going to be a huge deal when somebody beats her.
Yes. Seven-star Saint Brennan Hardy. Hey, guys. How much would you think NXT getting a second hour would benefit the quality of the show, or do you think it would hinder it? Personally, he thinks that it would be a great benefit for adding a second hour. I mean, if they add Adam Cole,
mm-hmm.
if they add Kyle O'Reilly,
mm-hmm.
Bobby Fish,
mm-hmm.
I mean, I can name countless
mm-hmm.
Wrestlers who are either free agents or probably soon to be free agents.
Yeah.
That I'm sure WWE would love to have.
Oh, sure, yeah.
Bring them to NXT.
Mm-hmm.
There's going to be a lot of wrestlers.
Yeah.
The depth on NXT would be ridiculously good.
You know what I'd love to do?
You would need to expand the show, I would think.
Yeah, you would think so. What I would really love them to do is, if they're going to have a secondary belt, don't make it seem like a secondary belt. Make it its own gimmick.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And it could be a very wide-ranging, loose gimmick, but make it its own gimmick. Kind of like how the Gift of the Gods is kind of a secondary belt, but it's also your direct path to the main belt.
Yeah.
X Division was its own thing.
Yes.
It was for a specific type of wrestler. And it wasn't weight-related, because Samoa Joe was an X Division champion.
Yeah.
It was just for the more, you know, whatever you want to call it, innovative wrestlers.
Yeah.
You know?
No, so, I think that'd be a good idea.
Yeah. Live sex show champion Scott Haas. Which 205 Live competitor or competitors could potentially benefit from hossing up? Well, if you hoss up, you kind of have to hit the main roster at that point, right? Hossing up is going to kick you out of 205 Live.
For example, I think TJP is listed at 175. He has 30 pounds to gain before he is no longer a cruiserweight. So I'm going to say TJP.
Oh, my gosh. How big is how much does Austin Aries, what is he built at?
Probably close to 200.
200?
I would say. So he would only have 5 pounds. 202.
How tall is he?
5'9".
How tall is Finn?
5'11".
Oh, so okay. Yeah, Austin Aries just seems really short. But yeah, I'd like to see Austin Aries on the main roster.
TJP is listed at 5'10", 167.
Mm-hmm.
So he has 38 pounds he could put on.
Yeah. Yeah. One more question. Then we're going to go do lunch.
Yeah. Starving.
Starving.
Starving. Starving. How's everybody doing in chat?
Oh, no. Oh, no.
Fine. One more question.
There's a lot to read there. See if you... Oh, here we go. Oh, I already read that one.
Riveting podcasting right here.
Oh, here we go. Machine Gun Kurt Schwoski. Where would Hideo Itami be if he was never plagued with the injury issues?
Oh, good question.
He says he thinks he would have been in the mix for the NXT title and already on main. He'd already be on main.
Yeah.
Whatever their plans are for him, he would have already done that.
Mm-hmm.
Whether that be 205 Live or on...
Do you think the plan was for him to more or less be in NXT for 18 months and then get moved up?
Well, he was going into a thing with Austin Aries. I could see him being around for a while in NXT. I think that's not the case now. I think that's why he had his title shot and they turned him heel, and or they're going to turn him heel, I think.
Because he signed in 2014, so 3 years ago, and he's lost about a year and a half.
I'm going to be, you know what?
Due to injury, maybe more than that.
I'll be honest with you. I don't think it's unreasonable to think that he would be in the Fatal 5-Way at Extreme Rules. If he had never been injured, mm-hmm. that wouldn't surprise me.
Because
best case scenario for him would have been
Yeah. So he signed in 2014.
I think around the same time as Finn, I think.
Yeah, but I think he didn't make his debut. Well, the video packages they were running before his match with Bobby Roode. Let me double check here. Because it made it seem like he made his in-ring debut at the San Jose show before WrestleMania 31. But I don't know if that's the case. When did he... Oh. No, it was late 2014, it must have been. Yeah, it was late 2014, sorry. So let's assume 2 years. So that would take him till the end of 2016.
Mm-hmm.
So it would have been right around the time that 205 Live...
2 years is a long time, too.
I know.
That's a long time.
So I thought 18 months.
18 months, maybe, probably more realistic.
So he could have come up summer of 2016.
If he had a really hot spell in NXT,
yeah,
he could have, I don't know, I'm not going to say he could have got the Finn treatment, but it could have been near, could have been close to the Finn treatment. I'm not saying he'd have been Universal Champion off the bat, but it would have been pretty big.
He could have been drafted.
He could have been drafted, yeah, totally. Yeah, I could see that. Anyways, that's it. Thank you for hanging out. Thanks for tuning in. This is our first NXT 205 Live patron-only live stream. Thanks for your support, everybody who's tuning into this. And for the rest of you, thank you for tuning in. Until next time, we'll talk to you guys later.
Bye.